So the king asked the man, I don't understand. The first man comes to the palace and he's busy taking everything that he wants and eating and taking all my stuff. And you're coming to the palace and I thought you're going to do the same thing. All you're doing is watching me. Why are you doing that? And the man says, the reason I wanted to come to the palace is to be with the king. The best thing in the palace is the king himself. The reason I wanted to come to the palace is to be with the king and see the king and all the beautiful things that the king does. That's why I want to come to the palace, to be close with the king. If I'm not in the palace, I'm not close with the king. If I'm in the palace, I see the king and I feel closest to the king. And since I love the king, that's the best thing. And that's why I want to come to the palace. Now, the Baal Shem Tov is telling Dabash this story. He says, that's the difference between you and me. And that's why you're in the mountains, and that's why I'm in the mountains. He says, the mountains and the world, this is Hashem's palace. This is where the beautiful, this is where the beauty of Hashem is. The trees and the flowers and the sky and everything in the world. This is Hashem's palace. But you're like the first man who comes to the palace. What do you want to do in Hashem's world? Take as much as you can. Get as much stuff as you can. So you're stealing and you're robbing and you're taking things. But that's not why a person was created to be in this world. And that's not the main thing in the world. The main thing is Hashem himself. What am I in the mountains for? What do I want to be in the world for? To be close to Hashem. So I'm walking the mountains to feel close to Hashem. And Dabash Kinalov was very, very impressed by the Baal Shem Tov. He felt that the Baal Shem Tov is very special. Now the reason that he felt the Baal Shem Tov is very special because his neshama felt that. And the other robbers also felt that he's special, but maybe they felt that, you know, he's still a special person to rob because he's all by himself. And Dabash is standing right across from the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov told Dabash some kind of a strange story. And now what's going to happen? The robbers are waiting. What's going to happen now? Because nobody ever got away from Dabash. And all of a sudden the Baal Shem Tov said, Dabash, please think about what I said, because you're also a Jew. Remember what a Jew is in the world to do. Not just to take the things for himself and rob and steal, but he's here to be close to Hashem. And the way to be close to Hashem is by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And this is the same for every Yid. Of course, every Yid does it in a different way, but every Yid has their special way in order to do that. And Dabash starts to cry. He says, for so many years I've done such terrible things, and I've gone against Hashem, and I've robbed and I've stolen things and done terrible things. So what can I do? And the Baal Shem Tov says, you can always do tshuva. Remember that. It's never too late to do tshuva. And the Baal Shem Tov starts to walk away. Now, of course, the other robbers didn't quite understand what's going on. So they think to themselves, what's going to happen now? The Baal Shem Tov starts to walk away. And Dabash starts to walk after the Baal Shem Tov. The robbers say, he's going to walk behind the rabbi. And when the rabbi is not expecting it, Dabash is going to jump on him and he's going to steal everything from him. Okay, let's watch this. The Baal Shem Tov walks down the road and Dabash is still walking after him. Hey, he didn't jump on him yet. Yeah, he's probably waiting till he gets a little bit further. Okay, well, let's go behind them and watch when Dabash jumps on that rabbi and steals all of his stuff. Well, they went down the road as the road goes down the mountain and the Baal Shem Tov is still walking and Dabash is still walking behind the Baal Shem Tov. Well, why didn't he jump on him yet and rob him yet? Well, he's probably waiting until they get to the edge of the mountain. He's going to push off the rabbi from the mountain and he's going to take his stuff then. Well, that doesn't happen because the Baal Shem Tov just goes down the road and Dabash is following him. And the robbers, they were following for a while Until they said, look, you know, Dabash, he'll do what he has to do because he knows when he's going to get that rabbi. So we'll just go back to the secret hiding place and wait until Dabash comes back. And then we'll find out what Dabash brings back to the secret hiding place. After all, he's not going to be upset at us because he caught the man himself. And we're curious of what he gets from that man. And Kenalak, that the robbers went back to the hiding place and they're waiting. And they're waiting and they're waiting. And Dabash doesn't come back. Well, maybe he'll come back tomorrow. Or it took a long time, maybe. Or maybe, who knows what. The next day, Dabash doesn't come back. And the day after that, Dabash doesn't come back. And you know what happened? Dabash never came back to the secret hiding place. What happened to Dabash? Well, some people say that they saw Dabash with a beard, with a hat, also with tzitzis, with a nice family, with a wife and beautiful kinderlach wearing yarmulkes and girls dressed sneistik, and Dabash was learning Torah somewhere, and he did shuva, and he became not just a yid, because he was a yid. He became a Baal Tshuva. He did Tshuva. Where is he? Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly where he is. What's his real name? Maybe his name is David. Or maybe, who knows? Probably he's now David instead of Dabash. David Dabash. Trying to figure out, where do you think Dabash might have gone, walking and walking after the Baal Shem Tov? Where do you think?
He became a Yid.
Well, he was a Yid. He was already a Yid. What do you think he might be doing now instead of robbing in the forest, since he followed the Baal Shem Tov and he never came back to the secret hiding place of the robbers? What do you think Dabash might be doing now?
Doing mitzvahs.
Okay, what else?
He stopped robbing.
Okay, so what's he doing? If he stopped robbing, he's got to be doing something. What could a person like Dabash do?
Did Shuva.
Did Shuva, yeah, he did Shuva.
He learned Torah and did mitzvahs.
He learned Torah and did mitzvahs. And what else could Dabash be doing?
He came back with the Baal Shem Tov.
He came back with the Baal Shem Tov, maybe became a chassid.
He became a chassid.
He became an Erlach Yid. What else do you think Dabash is doing?
He became a Baal Tshuva.
He became a Baal Tshuva. Dabash became a Baal Tshuva. Very good. There was a tzaddik. He was invited to somebody's house for tea. In some countries, they have a time they serve tea. And the tzaddik was sitting in a person's house, they served him tea. And they also put milk on the table, because in that country, it was a minhag, it was a custom, not a minhag. Minhag is more of a Yiddish custom. It's just not a custom. With tea, they put milk. Some people like milk in their tea. And so they put out milk in a glass pitcher, because they didn't have cartons. And the tzaddik was drinking his tea. And then he asked, is there any milk on the table? I would like some milk in my tea. And somebody pointed at the glass pitcher with milk. And a minute later he asked, is there any milk on the table? I would like some milk in my tea. And again, they pointed to the glass pitcher that was full of milk. And a third time he says, by the way, is there any milk? Maybe I could have some milk in my tea. And they said to him, don't you see milk on the table? He says, no, I don't see any milk. Don't you see a glass pitcher on the table? He says, I see the glass pitcher, but I don't see any milk in it. But it's full of milk. Kenalach, he did not see the milk. There was milk in there. He didn't see it. They asked him, don't you see any milk? No. They understood there must be something wrong with the milk. Something must be strange about the milk. They found out that the delivery man who delivers the milk made a mistake. There was a mix-up. It wasn't even his fault. It happened on the farm. And the chal of Akum, the Goyish milk that should have gone to the Goyim by mistake went to the Yidin. And the Chol of Yisrael that should have gone to the Yidden by mistake went to the Goyim. So there was a mix-up with the milk, and it happened that he did not see the milk at all. Now, they didn't understand, so why doesn't he see the milk? If there's something wrong, it's one thing. How could it be he mamish doesn't see the milk? And it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says about Chalav Yisrael, it says, Chalav shechal by akum, milk that a goy milked, v'ein Yisrael ro'ehu, and a Yid does not see it. So what it means is, if a Yid is not there to watch the milking, because you're supposed to have a Shemesh Shabbos Yid to be there by the cows, and the goy is milking the cows, and a Yid sees it, that means it's Chalav Yisrael. Now what if he does not see it? It's Chalav Akum. It's still kosher, but it's not Chalav Yisrael, because a Yid has to see it. Now Shulchan Aruch is saying that a Yid has to see it. If a Yid does not see it, so then it's Chalav Akum. But there's another way that it means, and that's what he said. Milk that a goy milked it, a Yid does not see it. Ein Yisrael ro'ehu. A Yid does not see it. He says, I just didn't see the milk. A goy milked it, and I didn't see it. In other words, can Allah certain things by a tzaddik, if it's not a right thing, he doesn't see it. Do you understand? Like Avram. Avram was perfect in his eyes. A thing that was not kosher, Avram had the koyach not to see it. He didn't even see it. It wasn't there. He didn't see it. He was in such a madrega, something what was not connecting with Hashem, he didn't even see it. It wasn't worth seeing, he didn't look at it. I'll tell you another maaseh, a little maaseh. I just heard it on last Shabbos, not this one. Not so long ago, there was a chassid named Reb Itche HaMasmit. Reb Itche HaMasmit. There are kids in this yeshiva that are his einiklach. And there's one kid, he's not in this yeshiva now, he was in my class years ago, has the same name as his Alta Zaydi, Yitzchak. He's an einikl from Reb Itche HaMasmit. Reb Itche HaMasmit, HaMasmit means he's always learning. He learned Torah every spare minute and every spare second, and he was a very high level person, very close to Hashem. And when a person is very close to Hashem like that, not only he's very smart and he's a big Talmud Chacham and knows a lot of Torah, but he has certain kriches that goes along with it, as you're going to see from this maaseh. I just heard this maaseh from somebody who was telling somebody else. There was a shul. It used to be a church. The church sold it. It became a shul. Of course, they cleaned it out. They fixed it up. They made it to be a shul. One day, Reb Itche HaMasmit came into the shul to daven there. He was visiting that town, and he went to that shul to daven. It was the first time he was ever in that shul. He goes into shul. He takes one step into the shul. Right away, he smells. He turned around and walked out. That was strange. Wonder what happened. They opened up a few windows. Maybe it doesn't smell good in here. They went outside. They called him, Reb Itche, please come into the shul to daven. It's almost time for the minyan. Reb Itche turned around. He walked into the shul. He took another step into the shul. He smells. He walks right out with his towels and tefillin. He walks right out of the shul. Walks down the street. Reb Itche, what's wrong? Can't daven in that shul. I can't. There's something in that shul smells. Something is not right in that shul. They understood it wasn't just the smell of the air that they open the windows now and they let air in. Something else smells. Like we know, a tzaddik, kinalach, he smells things that another person doesn't smell. It doesn't necessarily be a thing that has a smell like you could smell. There's smelling bagashmias, there's smelling that the nose can pick up, and there's smelling that the neshama can pick up. In fact, it says about Mashiach, he's going to smell and he's going to judge. Just from one smell, like a person smells, and right away, he has exactly what the smell is. And a smell is not a thing you can see. Not a thing you can touch. A smell is a different kind of a level of thing. But as soon as you smell something, you know what it is. The same thing, Mashiach is going to be able to know exactly what is going on and what's going on with a person, to judge the person, just by one second. It says that about Mashiach, smelling and judging. They looked around the shul, they said, something is not right here. They looked all around the shul, they couldn't find anything. All of a sudden, somebody got the idea to look behind the Aron HaKodesh. They looked behind the Aron HaKodesh, and they saw that there was a window there, and they had blocked up the window when they put the Aron HaKodesh there. But then there was something like hanging next to the place, next to the Aron HaKodesh, like it was hanging next to the window, behind the Aron HaKodesh. And they looked over there, and there was still one getchkele from the church. A little yashkele was hanging on a nail, was hanging from the wall over there behind the Aron HaKodesh. Somebody forgot to take it off, or they forgot to chop it off, maybe it was stuck to the wall, whatever it was. There was some kind of a getchkele stuck over there to the wall that still had belonged to the church, and they put the Aron HaKodesh in front of it, and nobody saw it. Nobody saw it. As soon as Rabbi Itzhak Masmit came into that shul, he smelled it. He smelled there was something fishy in the shul. Well, they took it out and they destroyed it. Finished. And that was it. Now, if Rabbi Itzhak Masmit came back to the shul to daven or what, I don't know. One thing they did find, they found something was wrong. Just by that smell. A tzaddik has a different koyach. Remember the Maharal story? And that's something else. He wants to get rid of the chametz. He wants to make the kol chamira v'chamia. A wind comes and blows the candle out. Hashem shows a person that has Yirah Shamayim. Hashem has his ways of showing that person things. Through smelling, through things happening to him. A tzaddik is on a higher level, and Hashem shows the tzaddik in different ways things that are happening. By the way, when I heard the maaseh, I couldn't quite make out. It really doesn't make any difference, but either there was this yashkala hanging on the wall next to the window they had blocked up, or else there was a window there, it was a stained glass window. You know what stained glass? Like a fancy window of different colored glass. It could be what the man said was. It could be what the man says. They put the Aron HaKodesh in front of the window. They left the window there. And in the window, in the design of the window, was this yashkele. He called it a yoizel. A little yoizel was over there. So it could be that either they had blocked up the window, but they forgot to remove the getchkele on the wall, or in the window itself, they just left the window there, and they put the Aron HaKodesh in front of the window, and they didn't notice that in the design of the window was this little yoizele, was still there. Whatever the case may be, there was still something from the tumah of the church still there. And it doesn't exactly matter exactly how it was there. The main thing that there was something there that should not be in a shul. Nobody else ever noticed it was there. You couldn't see it. Rabbi Itzhak came in, he smelled it right away. Or you remember the maaseh from Reb Hillel Paracho when he collected the money. And the man who worked on Shabbos gave the money. Reb Hillel, he felt there's something wrong with this money. Or the story where he ate the chicken. He felt, he knew, he could feel there's something wrong over here. A tzaddik becomes, the word is very sensitive, with a special koyach that Hashem gives them to know if there's trouble, or if there's something happening there, or if there's something that's not kosher over there. Hashem shows a person what's has your shemaim, Hashem shows him the way to go. It says in Psukim. We say in the davening, I'm going to tell you this pasuk. It's a very important pasuk. We say it in Tachnun, when we put our head down. It says in the pasuk, Azoi. It says, Mi zehu ish, yirei Hashem. Who is the person that has yiras shemaim, that fears Hashem? Yoirenu bederech yivchar. He will show him in the way, which way to choose. And I told you one more last thing. When the Friedrich Rebbe was taken to jail, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, he was taken to jail on Tesvav Sivan. The 15th day of Sivan, the Friedrich Rebbe was taken to jail. What was he doing? He was helping Yidden, and he was spreading Yiddishkeit in Russia. They took him to jail for that. They took him to the jail, and right away they told him to go to a certain room. Up the stairs, turn left, go down the hall, there's another hall over there. Turn right, go down to a certain room, there's a number on the room, and there he has to go report to this room. Some kind of an office. Now, Ken Alok, they told this to the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe is a tzaddik, a Talmud Chochem. He's smarter than smart. Now we understand that if the Friedrich Rebbe is told to do something, he understands what to do. The Friedrich Rebbe starts going to this room. He got lost. He got lost in the prison. He got lost going down the halls. He couldn't find the room. Until finally he sat down on a bench. He felt himself mixed up. He didn't know where to go. And he ended up in a different place, the wrong place. He went to a different office. Other things happened over there. He ended up going to jail. Finally, Baruch Hashem, he got out of jail. Yud Beis Tammuz, and we have a big yontif. Later on, they found out that in the first room that he was supposed to go to, a man was in the room waiting for the Friedrich Rebbe. As soon as the Friedrich Rebbe came into that room, they had a terrible plan. The man was waiting there with a gun. And the Friedrich Rebbe would not have been in jail. And Rachman al-Islam, we wouldn't have the yontif of Yud Beis Tammuz. I don't want to say what would have happened had the Friedrich Rebbe gone into that room. A man was waiting there with a gun. That's what they had planned to do to the Friedrich Rebbe. But Ken Alach, the Friedrich Rebbe never went to that room. He got lost. He got mixed up. Because Hashem shows a person with Yiras Shamayim, especially at Tzaddik, Hashem shows him which way to choose. Hashem did not want him to go to that room, so he wasn't able to go to that room. Hashem made it so he wouldn't go to that room. He got lost.